Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Wednesday, November 13th.
Hi. Morning.
Good morning, Jen. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. We had a funny show yesterday. We had Scotty here.
Oh, Scotty was great.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. We got to talk after the show, too. He's a great guy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And he's been in entertainment for a long time, so he's definitely a guy to pick his brain.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And, so we always like to talk politics and stuff outside the show, but I told him yesterday, no politics. Although today everything's politics, like you noticed this morning.
Oh my gosh, everything.
And media is, it's all about the impeachment and everything. And, if you want to hear about, rockets raining down in Israel, don't look for it on CNN because it's not there. But, actually, I did find it down the page on CNN. But the amazing thing is, you know, they're shooting rockets at Israelis, right?
Yeah.
The Palestinians. And there were like more than 50 rockets or something. But
oh,
look
my
how,
gosh.
But look how the article starts on CNN. 24 Palestinians, among them 17 militants and a 7-year-old, have been killed by Israeli airstrikes.
A 7-year-old?
Right. But what I'm saying is, look how they're starting it. It's always about the Palestinians dying. It's not about them starting this and shooting the rockets over, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, and this is nothing new. I mean, this anti-Israel sentiment is going on for a long time. You know?
I mean, the rivalry between the Palestinians and Israel, that's tales old as time, you know?
Right, exactly. But people always find reasons to blame Israel for everything. And I guess at this point, we sort of got used to it, you know.
It's a shitty thing to get used to.
Yeah, I know. But what can you do, you know? And it's now, usually it's Hamas, now it's the Islamic Jihad, which they're all pretty much the same thing. But there's pictures here of a rocket falling right on the highway. Near some cars, you know, and almost got the cars. Of course, people that live near the border always have to run to the bomb shelters and everything. Nobody mentions that, all the trauma to the kids.
And all that. I remember being in Israel and seeing the bomb shelters. And I mean, being here in the U.S., you don't see bomb shelters at the corner where the bus stop is, you know, but there you saw them everywhere. And they made you do like bomb drills and things like that just to make sure you knew what to do just in case something happened. The last day we were in Israel, we were, oh man, I'm totally blanking out on where we were, but the next day, that exact location had gotten blown up.
Really?
The very next day, and we had slept there the night before in that hotel, and that whole beach got destroyed.
Jeez.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
I know, people don't understand that kind of life, you know, but it's pretty traumatic, especially for younger kids. And usually you only have like 30 seconds alert to run into the bomb shelter.
It's not a lot of time.
No, it's not. But thankfully, Israel's got the Iron Dome, which is a missile system, a rocket system that can shoot down rockets.
Oh, that's great.
So usually they shoot down most of them, which, thank God, you know, they're saving a lot of lives
this way.
Yeah, I guess
they had to develop that.
Yeah.
When you lived in Israel, do people have, like, bomb shelters in their homes?
In the building, there is downstairs under the building. Because you saw most people live in buildings, right?
Like,
like in New York, I guess, you know. Not in single-family houses. So in the building downstairs, you have that. But now, since the Gulf War, back in 1991, they started having every apartment has a room where it's dedicated to that, like because you could have chemical weapons and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's like a very tightly sealed room where you have special doors and everything. It's inside your fucking apartment,
where
right? And it's like it's all made of reinforced concrete. And
chemical warfare almost scares me a little bit more than explosives, you know,
because you don't know where it's going to go, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when 9/11 happened, they had all that talk about chemical warfare and everything like that, and all the houses where I lived in New Jersey, it was, you know, suburbs of Jersey. I remember seeing gas masks. Yeah, that was hard to say. Like catalogs with a bunch of safety equipment and things like that to use just in case. And I remember seeing that in our mailbox and my mom ordering things like that just in case something happened, you know, which is as
and
an American
a way of life in Israel.
You know? As an American, you don't, you know.
Yeah. And I made a mistake. It wasn't 50 rockets. It's 250 rockets launched since yesterday or the day before. Yeah. The Iron Dome has a success rate of about 90%, which is pretty cool. You know, nine out of 10 rockets get shot down.
And a lot of target practice.
Right.
You know, they've had to practice a lot to get to get that good at that.
Right. Ugh. And so that's why, you know, Israel's got a great defense system, but it's by necessity, you know.
Yeah, they had to.
Also, one of the best militaries in the world. And again, because it's by necessity, it's an existential thing, you know.
Yeah, it's mandatory to be in the military, right? It's like a year for women, 2 years for men. Is that what it is?
No, men are 3 years and women are 2 years.
Okay, yeah.
And, but yeah, as far as the fighters, the pilots and stuff are like... you know, it's because if you're not the best, you're going to die. You know, it's as simple as that.
Did you serve in Israel?
I did not. I left when I was 16 years old. Yeah. So and by the time I went back, it's like I was too old for them.
Yeah.
They're like not interested. But when you live there, you better go because otherwise you really feel like an outsider. You know, I mean, it's hard to get a job and everything. And that's why they make it like that. So everybody will go.
Okay.
You know, it's almost, you have a stigma if you don't go.
So it's not a law to go?
No, it is.
Oh, it is a law. Okay,
it is,
yeah,
but
that's
if you get out of it somehow, you know, not many, but some people try to get out of it. So they'll like fake illness, things like that. They'll try to commit suicide. So they like fake mental illness. So they won't get drafted. But then...
It's terrifying.
You pay with it, you know, with that kind of stigma. So most people go. And besides, you know, you want to go because you have everybody else protecting you when you're a child and afterwards and stuff. So
you want to pay forward.
Yeah, how can you not participate? You
scary.
Know? Right?
It's really scary, you know?
Yeah. So that's what's going on in the Middle East. And like I said, you won't find much of that on Facebook and a lot of media because I guess it's not that important. Jewish blood is cheap, you know?
I loved Israel. It was so great. I'm like, this is amazing here. And everyone I met was so nice. And
how do you fight anti-Semitism? You know, it's been around for thousands of years and it's always going to stay around, you know?
Absolutely.
But everybody's busy with the impeachment today, and everybody's trying to see what's going to happen. You know, I mean, this is serious stuff, and it's overtaken everything else that we've got going on in the country. And that's it. We're not going to get into that, I guess. But But yeah, and also, I guess. Climate change, right? Like global warming is really hitting hard in the East, right? We have Arctic blasts of record lows.
Yeah.
You know, road conditions.
Man.
I guess, so you were saying something about that yesterday.
Yeah,
about
it was
the snow back East.
Normally it doesn't snow until like January.
Right.
Maybe
And
flurries.
I was reading it was like 19 degrees last night or something.
No,
you know?
No. I'm going to be there in 2 weeks.
That? And they say it feels like 4 degrees. I'm like, how the fuck can anybody live in that?
I know, the wind chill really kills you. It's because there's so much moisture in the air out there because it rains so often and... You know, all those weather factors.
Right.
And so when it's cold, it feels colder. And when it's hot, it feels hotter.
Right.
Yeah. So it's torture.
Yeah. But I'm not so sure about global warming when you see that kind of stuff going on. But who knows, you know?
I know. I'm like, when I go home in a couple of weeks, I don't even know what to wear on the plane. I'm like, I didn't bring any, like, that many warm clothes with me.
I know.
Just going to tell my mom to pick me up and bring me all my coats.
It's crazy, man, that kind of weather. People were not meant to live in that kind of cold.
Yeah, who decided that that was? Right. They were like, oh, it's... That's this is really cold here. Let's settle down.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's
right.
Start families and businesses and just really set up shop.
And it's really crazy, man. Yeah. Wow.
Can you imagine how much wasted land we would have though if we didn't utilize all the cold places? I mean, that's most of America. I feel
that's
like it's
true,
cold.
Right?
The whole Midwest.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And I'd like to move north even to like Washington or something, but it's just as wintry there, you know?
Oh, yeah, it gets real cold there.
Yeah, it may not snow as much, but it's pretty rainy, which I like rain, but still, you know, I mean, to have winter for most of the year is not exactly pleasant. I don't think people are meant to live through that.
I love a rainy day, too. You know, you get the takeout, you just watch some Netflix. It's like, it's a great excuse to have the day off.
Right.
But, you know, I remember living in New York and we would have like 2 weeks of rain, like every
Non-stop.
Single day, rain,
wow.
Every day, gray and rainy.
Yeah.
And I love overcast. Like the sun is great, but in my heart, I'm an overcast kind of gal.
Right.
But every single day
is
a little, after a while, you're like, okay, a little vitamin D would be nice, you know?
That's true, right?
Because the sun, when you live in New York, you're surrounded by all these big buildings. So you lose the sun at 3 o'clock anyway.
That's true.
So you just live in darkness most of the time. So then when it's rainy, it's extra dark. And
that's true, yeah. Well, you got a little bit of that this morning here. A
I
little
know.
Overcast this morning, but no rain in the forecast anytime soon.
Yeah, LA is so mild with that.
I may have to take a trip up north to enjoy some rain. I don't know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I wish it would rain a little bit here once a week, you know, wash the car off a little.
Right, exactly. But you'd be amazed here. Even if it rains one day a year, people complain.
That's
here,
so funny.
You know?
They're spoiled.
Oh, I need a sunny day. Well, come on, man. You've had sunny all year, you know?
I know.
But people are so spoiled here with the weather, you know?
I feel like the rain helps wash the air.
It does.
You know, it just makes it cleaner. I see what's on my car and I'm starting to get worried about everything I'm breathing in. You know, I knew it was bad in New York, but at least you have that rain to kind of cleanse everything a little bit here and there.
That's true. And here it's so dry, man. Your skin gets dry.
So dry.
Everything's dry.
Yeah.
The lawn, everything. Yeah.
That's how the fires happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. So an extreme of anything is terrible, I think, you know?
I know.
So, yeah.
Or maybe I'm just not happy no matter what.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's too sunny, it's too rainy, it's too cloudy, it's too snowy.
I know.
It's no happy medium for me.
Well, four seasons would be nice, you know?
Yeah, like a mild four seasons. The thing about the East Coast, though, or anywhere that it gets cold and snowy, is the snowy days feel warmer than the days that are just cold, where it's 11 degrees and like crazy winds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Wow. Like that is intolerable. But the snowy days, they're fun. Like you get excited, you outside, you go for walks in the snow, you come in, you make hot chocolate or have some like soup or whatever. So,
right. Well, I wouldn't know. I never lived in snow. But it is a different lifestyle, right? I mean, I remember I traveled to Minnesota once to see somebody and it was really snowing and icy.
Yeah.
And I thought, shit, you know, the cars get stranded in the ice and you have to wear special things. Like I wore like regular shoes and I would like slip and,
and
trip every, you know.
Even sneakers.
Yeah.
You can't wear sneakers in the snow.
You can.
Yeah.
So.
And if you wear something like a rubber boot so that your socks don't get wet, the rubber gets so cold.
Really?
So cold, yeah. You have to find really, really comfortable, warm, squishy shoes.
Yeah, definitely not leather soles, man.
No.
Yeah,
I
was on the ground every few steps.
Yeah.
I'm like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, it's the worst.
You know,
man. I was in Denver visiting my brother last winter, and we it wasn't even that snowy, because Denver stays fairly warm even in the winter because they're a mile higher, so they're closer to the sun, so even on a snowy day, it's sunny. It's kind of bizarre.
Mm.
But we did what's called the incline at Manitou, and it's straight up, and each step is like 2 inches wide. So you're stepping on each step with literally just the tips of your toes the whole way up, and it's miles and miles and miles high.
Really?
And we climbed the whole thing. And I,
are you serious?
Yeah. It was
you
my first day.
You can't stop
there.
Like in the middle or something?
I mean, you can stop and take a break.
Right.
But
on your toes?
Yeah, but you don't look down.
Right.
And some of the, as you get higher up, the stairs are covered in ice and snow.
Right.
And my brother was, you know, a good brother and didn't tell me to wear different shoes. So I had sneakers on and I wasn't expecting snow. He's like, yeah, we're going to go climbing today a little bit. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know,
now why would you do something crazy like that?
I know. I mean, it was a great workout. It was really fun. But yeah, I was really surprised that my lungs could take it, cause I had been out of working out from an injury. And I, when you go to Denver, you have breathing trouble usually the first day or two you're there because the altitude.
You see, and that's why I've wanted to go to Denver, but I don't know that I can because I went to Mammoth here.
Yeah.
And it's like 13,000 feet. And after a couple days, well, after a day and a half, I really started feeling like I can't really breathe.
Yeah.
So I left early, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I hear what you're saying about the thin air, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's so different, totally.
Yeah, so I guess you have to get used to it, right?
You do, for sure.
I was just afraid I would fucking die there, so.
Yeah, I was on my inhaler.
Yeah. I know, but. Yeah.
It was fun, though. It was really fun. We made it all the way to the top and back down, so.
Yeah.
Once you get up over the hill, there's a different downward, so it's a little, it's still as steep, but the steps are a little wider.
Yeah.
So
crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. I don't know, man. Just give me 5-star hotel. I'm happy.
Yeah, right? I love a good hotel. I feel like whenever I go into a hotel, I always do that thing where you fight with the sheets when you get in a bed because the flat sheet is always like packed so tight at the end.
That's true.
Instead of just pulling it out and making it easy for myself, I get in and then I just slowly struggle with it over the course of like probably a half an hour.
Trying to get your feet straight.
Yeah, right? Totally. I'm like, I should just make it easy for myself and pull it out from the get-go.
I know. I'm the same way, but I guess most people are.
Yeah.
You wonder why they make it so tight. I guess because it looks good, right?
It looks good. It's nice and tucked away. It's not sloppy, but I don't want to mess up the pretty work, you know? Like, I remember being a kid and my mom would open presents that had pretty wrapping paper on them. She'd open it nice and slowly so that she didn't rip the paper.
Yeah, right.
And then just like rip it open. Now that I'm an adult, I'm like, this paper is so nice.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh God.
On face.
Yeah.
I know the crazy things we do.
I know.
But I've been thinking about hotels, you know, and it's kind of gross, you know, because you go there and, you know, like the couches, the chairs and stuff, they don't clean that, you know what I mean? They don't shampoo that and stuff, you know? So you figure, I'm going to stain my clothes as long as I sit on these things, you know?
Yeah, I usually put a towel on them or I ask for an extra fitted sheet and I just throw that over it.
Right. That's what you got to do, you know? I mean, otherwise the carpet, I don't know what's in the carpet.
I've heard stories from comedians. I'm friends with a lot of comedians and they do a lot of traveling. So they stay in a lot of hotels and I've heard some pretty gross
things. And even if you don't hear them, you can imagine what people
for sure.
do. You know?
I mean, there was that show that was on like 10 years ago and they took a black light to, like, they went to 10 different hotels and they took a black light and they went all the way from like motels, like crappy motels, all the way to 5-star resorts and stuff, and all of them
have like DNA and shit.
Oh, so gross. So gross. I was like, oh,
I know. So that's what I'm saying, you know. I mean, hotels are fun, but I don't know how clean they are.
I mean, not just that, but like bed bugs.
Have
you heard about
that's
that
true.
You know, there's so many in hotels. I had a friend, she stayed at she was on like a music trip and they found bed bugs in the hotel room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they switched rooms and then that room seemed okay. And I had them once in New York. I had a friend live with me and she was dating a guy who had them. She had just moved to the city and her and her boyfriend had broken up. So I was like, hey, just come stay at my place for a few months. Like, it'll be fun. Kind of reset, whatever, whatever. So she moves into my studio with me and she starts dating this guy. Like right away, and she's going to his house and then she'd come home and say, I kept seeing these weird red bugs on his couch and in his bed. I don't like, what is that? And I'm like, red bugs? And when you live in New York, like basically when you cross into the New York City border, they hand you like a bed bug pamphlet. They're like, here you go. This is what's going on here.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like it's a thing there, big time. And so I was like, dude, those are bed bugs. You can't you know, I was like, I don't want to be your parent, but like, I forbid you to go to his house. Like, you can't go to his house and then come here,
yeah,
you know,
bring him back with you.
Yeah. I was like, what's going to happen is you're going to bring him here and then I'm going to have to clean the whole place because you're in school or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So one day I'm at home and I see one on a basket. Like I had a basket on the floor with like a pile of like linens that I had just folded to put away. And I see a little bed bug on there and I was like,
Oh God.
And I just, I Googled it and it was exactly that. And then I saw another one and I literally just threw it out onto my fire escape. And I was like, bah! I just had to throw it. I couldn't even deal with it. So I called the building and the building had someone come, and luckily it was the very beginning stages. Like, those are the only two adults in the house. And when they're babies, they're completely translucent. So you can't see them. You have to like look at them on the edge of something and you can see them kind of walking. They just look like these little like legs moving around. So they came and they lifted up my bed and they had only found like two or three babies. So it was the very, very beginning. So we were lucky in that sense, because when it gets bad enough, you know, they hide in books, they hide in wood crevices, wicker, you know, like the woven wicker baskets and stuff like that. So unless your apartment is like only metal and glass, you have, like, I had to throw away so much stuff. And she had just started school and she totally abandoned ship on helping me clean anything. And I was walking two blocks and then one avenue to the laundromat with, you know, two grown women's amount of clothing. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I was doing both of our laundry. So I had, I think I did like 26 or 27 big black trash bags that day of laundry, just back and forth. And then you have to, you know, wash it, dry it for at least 30 minutes and then seal the bag. And you can't reopen the bag for 2 months. And because I lived in a studio, I couldn't just put everything in another room. I had to put it in my bathroom. So every time I had to use the bathroom, I'd have to walk 6 or 7 blocks to the gym, which is a total pain in the butt. Yeah. And she just kind of like abandoned ship and didn't help me do any of it. And you have to like steam everything. I was steaming luggage and I was reading all about it and talking to all the exterminators. And so I had to throw away like all of my wood stuff. You know, you have to put your books, you have to take all of your stuff and seal it up and then put all of your furniture in the center of the room.
Right.
And just live like that for about 2 months, because they spray once and then they have to come back and spray again because the spray doesn't penetrate the eggs, and then they have to come back and spray a third time and then a fourth time.
Right.
So it was about two months before I got my apartment back in order. It was basically like moving out and moving back in, which is like, they say moving is one of the most stressful things that you go through in life. That's how you end 20 years of friendship.
Yeah, that's true. Huh? Well, let me tell you, I mean, your story is pretty bad. Me back in the 70s, right? I lived in an apartment by myself, and I guess I had a roommate, and then they left, so I was stuck with a 2-bedroom apartment. Mm. So one time my cousin asked me, he had this female friend, can you have her stay for a few days, blah blah blah, till she gets an apartment. I said fine, so I gave her the 2nd bedroom to use. Right.
Yeah.
Then she moves out after a few days, and I realize I fucking have crabs. Yeah. And crabs are like in your pubic area, right? And, man, what a story that was. You want to talk about getting rid of that shit?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. That
the
was
creams
like...
creams and stuff?
And it was like on the furniture and the carpet and everything. So how do you get rid of it, you know? And I was afraid to invite people over.
Of course. You don't want to spread it to their homes.
Exactly. I didn't bring women over to have sex or anything because I was afraid, you know, I'd pass it on to people. And then a friend of mine, I thought I had it cleaned. My friend moved in and it was still there, you know. But I don't think he got it. But when he heard about it, he's like, I'm fucking moving out of here, you know.
Yeah.
So I was stuck with it. And again, you talk about taking the laundry and having to wash everything.
Yeah.
And the machine is not in the apartment, so you have to take it, you know, to the main washing room in the complex. And you got to remember also, it was in the 70s. It didn't even occur to me to like shave off everything, you know,
sure,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like I went to the doctor, they gave me shampoos and stuff, and you'd get rid of it, it comes back. And I had the apartment sprayed. It didn't help.
How'd you get it out of the carpet?
Kind of shit. I don't know. I didn't. So what happened was I ended up moving out because I couldn't stand to stay there anymore.
Of course.
So I washed all my clothes, put them in a suitcase, and got the fuck out of there as soon as I could. You
Did
know?
It go with you to the next place?
No, okay, no. Good. I got rid of it. I washed everything myself. And yeah.
Oh, can you see them?
Yeah.
Ugh.
You can feel them, but you can.
Ew, right? My God, you can feel them?
Right. No, I mean, it like pinches you. It's like it itches all the fucking time in your genital area. And it's like, oh my God, man, you know, it's fucking horrible.
That's so rough.
It's horrible. So be careful who you bring to your house, you know. Like
oh my gosh,
you know, it's like people will bring it to you.
Oh, my gosh. Someone once told me the way to get rid of crabs is you shave one side. And then when they all run to the other side, you stab them.
Stab them. They're so fucking small, man. You can barely see it. But yeah, and, oh man, I don't even want to think about that. But that was a terrible time. It was like a period of a few months, and I thought I was gonna go crazy.
Yeah,
yeah, because you can't get
rid of
it.
Messes with you.
Yeah.
It really messes with you. You know, you're sleeping, and you just feel like you feel things on you all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I hate it. You know, I remember having roaches in my first apartment in New York, like infested.
Really?
Yeah. These guys had been living there and they were kind of in and out of the apartment. So it was total trash. Like you could wipe your finger on the wall and there'd be like a whole pallet of dust on your finger.
Wow.
And so when my friend and I moved in, the guys didn't move out until the day of. So we had to sign a waiver that we were taking the apartment as is. And literally roaches all over the walls in the cabinets. Every time I would take a dish out of the cabinet, there'd be like a dead roach in my bowl.
Oh my God.
It was the worst. You just see them all the time. The big ones too. Like you'd open the cabinet door and you'd see five run and you'd see anywhere from the babies to the big boys, you know?
Right.
And it was the worst. And you know, they mark their territory by like crapping on stuff. So they signal to their other roach buddies that this is a cool place to hang out. So
how lovely, huh?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow.
And I would wake up in the middle of the night like, ugh. I just feel like I feel them on me.
God, I could never live in the city, you know? I mean, I can imagine the rich people have cool places, but the you know, the general population there, the places are so old, you know, and
so old.
Right?
Everything just crawling in the walls behind you.
Right.
Even if there's that barrier, you know, leaning against the wall, reading a book or something, you know, it's just there's families of them just in the wall. Just
jeez. No wonder you wanted to move here. You know, I would have
had
enough of that shit too.
The worst.
Jeez.
The worst.
Wow.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Did you hear about someone printed a 3D mini house in 24 hours?
Really?
A whole mini house in 24 hours.
Wow.
How fun is that?
Is that like with concrete and stuff?
The 3D printing?
Right.
I'm not sure what the materials are that they use, but...
Because I've seen something like that before.
Yeah.
But 24 hours is fast,
yeah.
You know?
How crazy
But that's
is
pretty
that?
Cool. I mean, I know we have like a 3D printer here, but it's like small plastic things,
yeah.
You know?
But that's
a house,
pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff. And it's those cute little mini houses. Like, those are the hugest thing on the market right now, are those tiny homes. So I think the home is probably like maybe 400 square feet in total. But, you know, when you look at them, I think of my apartment in New York was 400 square feet and it was just a box. But had it had all these like amazing amenities, they have these like nooks with seating areas. It's all about the setup. You know what I mean? So I see these little mini houses and I'm like, I could totally live in that.
Really?
You know, they're like loft style. So they have like the loft upstairs and then downstairs they have like a built in nook so you don't have to buy a couch.
Right.
And things like that. And the kitchens are nice and fresh and set up. And you have
and
amenities.
Where did that take place? Where did they do this? Do you know?
I don't know where they did that. I think they're kind of doing it everywhere. I know I've seen ads for tiny homes out here in L.A.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, and I think they work on generators and things like that. So you can technically, you know, hook them up and travel with them.
Really?
Yeah, totally. They're like mobile homes as well. That's pretty cool stuff.
So what did they make them out of? I wonder if it's plastic also, some kind of plastic, if you can take it with you. I mean, if it
Maybe.
Was concrete, there's no way.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I'll look into that.
Yeah. That sounds interesting. But I don't know, to live in 400 square feet, my God.
I know, it's tight.
It's only to go there to sleep, you know, pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
You know, and I saw a documentary once about living in Tokyo. And over there, I mean, it's just like they live like in, I mean, it's probably not even 400 square feet.
Yeah.
Probably like 100 or something.
That's rough.
It's just enough for a bed and a sink, and that's it.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know how people can live like that.
I know there's a lot of studios in L.A. that are, especially in downtown L.A. My friend lives in like a 200-square-foot studio, but they share... it's like a shared bathroom and shared kitchen, and I'm
I know, who can do
you
that?
You know, if I'm gonna pay, you know, $1,000 to have like that, I'm just gonna get my own place for
exactly.
Or
get the hell out of town and go somewhere cheaper.
Totally. It's
who can live like that? You know,
everyone has their own standards.
I know.
You know,
but you gotta really want to live in LA badly to put up with that.
Yeah, big time. Jeez. Big time.
Yeah. Well, what can I say? You know, get
own.
A fucking job, man.
The job market's rough out here.
I know.
It's really rough.
Well, it
out
depends
here.
What you want to do. You know, I mean, in entertainment, it is.
For sure. I mean, I've been even looking for restaurant jobs.
Really? That's
and
hard.
I've
huh?
been, it's been almost 3 months and I can't find something.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You know,
it's like that.
I had this little job at Beverly Hills. I don't know if I told you about it, but I was working at this restaurant in Beverly Hills and it was like, the worst restaurant job I've ever had. The employees were really nice. You know, the owner was really nice. But the customers that came in, like every single order would be modified completely.
Really?
Like unidentifiable. You could never learn the menu because when you were training, the servers were so busy because you'd have 15 to 20 table sections.
Yeah.
And every table, like this woman comes in, she's like, all right. She goes, I want a chopped salad, but I want no bacon and no chicken. I want it on a side plate and I want no garbanzo beans and no beets. And I want avocado and cucumber instead. And then I want the salad extra chopped with very light dressing with the rest of the dressing on the side. And then I want you to split the salad into two
and
bowls.
And you want to slap her in
the
face,
and I'm just
right?
like, I don't have time for this. And then I have like six other tables that just sat down that want to tell me like the same exact pain in the butt order. But I had this situation. I had put in my 2 weeks because I was like, if I stay here, I'm going to have a mental breakdown. And it was in the middle of crazy brunch, right? Which is every server's like nightmare of a shift is brunch, you know? So be nice to your servers during brunch, man. We would really appreciate it. And this, you know, I had two tables send back their food. And then I had three other tables that just sat and two tables that are waving the checkbook at me because they want to pay. This little kid walks by and he's like coughing some kind of like liquid onto my arm while I'm trying to get by. And I am like holding a bunch of dishes to send back to the kitchen. And this man comes up to me. He goes, he's like, I want two short stacks of pancakes. I need this side, that side, this coffee, and I want this drink and a juice. And then I want this and I want a half calf this, blah, 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 blah. Just on and on and on, like standing there telling me the order. And I was like, great. I'll be right over any entire time. Like, hello, where are you? And I'm like, it's literally been 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So I go over to the table and he's like, are you our waitress? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, are you our waitress? I'm like, yeah. He goes, are you our waitress? I said, yes, I'm your waitress. And he's like, how smart do you have to be a waitress? He goes, wow. How smart are you? He goes, can you spell waitress for me? Can you spell waitress? Go ahead. I'm waiting. I'd like to hear you spell waitress for me. And then just sits there in silence. And I just looked at him like.
Yeah, you don't have to take that abuse.
Yeah, I was like. I'm not even going to humor that comment. I'm going to grab somebody else to take your order. And he was like, no, 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 no. And I turned around. I was like, no, I'm done with you. Somebody else is going to come take your order. And not even 2 minutes later, this other guy came in who I was talking to the week before, who had given me his email address. He's like, I've been living in Beverly Hills for 30 years. Like, I'll shoot you an email with a bunch of stuff that I love in the area for you to check out. And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. So I saw him and I was like, hey, good to see you. I was like, you wouldn't believe it. I put your email address in my pocket and I washed my pants. He takes his fist and he knocks on my head and he goes, not too bright, are you? And I was like,
wow.
I was like, oh, cool. This is great.
Yeah,
this is
great.
And I might have had a better sense of humor about it if I wasn't under like the most stress possible from having like, I think I had 23 tables that day.
Jeez.
Yeah,
and that's
it was
in
wild.
Beverly Hills?
That was in Beverly Hills, yeah. And I've heard from other servers who have worked over there that that's like the worst spot to be
oh
a server at.
God.
Yeah. So it's just, it's insane. So I was like, I don't care how broke I am. I was like, I can't work here.
I can't
work here at all. It was crazy. Yeah. And like, there was never anyone around to help you. And every day, like a cup would be, they'd be like, OJ goes in this glass. And then the next day they're like, why did you put OJ in that glass? It goes in this glass. Like, and they never had trays to serve drinks on. So you're just carrying a bunch of like cocktails, like in your arms, like against your shirt. Like it was like a total mess. And I've worked in high-end restaurants, really well-oiled machines. So for me, this was like, It was like restaurant culture shock. I didn't, I was like, I got to get out of here.
Managed terribly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, I was reading that, I guess, last week, this waiter in a New York restaurant spilled something on a woman's Louis Vuitton $30,000 purse. And now they're suing the restaurant for the purse, and the restaurant turned around and is suing the waiter now. Now, what the fuck is he going to do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's a waiter because he doesn't have any money.
Right.
You know, exactly. He's not a waiter because he's a secret millionaire or even thousands of dollars.
Yeah, like, who knows? But still, I mean, you know, it happens. But to turn on your employee like that is unbelievable.
Unfortunately, I mean, these things happen, like you know? Also, where was your bag placed? Like, people working in restaurants, people literally put their bag in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
In the middle of the floor. I'm like, why does that seem like a good idea? Like, there's people walking around with trays. Like, I've tripped on so many people's bag straps, especially in the dark restaurants I've worked in. Like, I worked in a really high-end restaurant in New York. It was great. I would probably still be there if I didn't leave New York. It was a great team, great money, like, fantastic. But it was so dark in there that, you know, I'd be tripping on people's bags all the time. I'm like, just put it under your seat. Like, pretend you're on a plane and put it under your seat, you know?
It's hard to work with people, you know, with the public. Sure.
It is.
I know. My son gets jaded sometimes with customers. He's doing bartending now.
Oh, yeah.
And he says sometimes people are just like unbelievable, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, really, you know.
You know, I think, you know how in Israel it's mandatory to serve in the military? I think in the U.S. it should be mandatory to work in service. Whether it's retail or a restaurant, I think you should absolutely have to work in service. I think the world would be a better place if people knew what it was like to deal with themselves, you know,
with people
for
more.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's fine if you have a specific thing and you want what you want and you want it how you want it. Right. That's fine. I mean, I'm vegan, so I know I can be a pain in the butt in restaurants, but I always tip accordingly. And I'm always like, hey, look, this is going to be annoying. This is my restriction. What can you do to help me?
Yeah.
You know, like if you're honest with your server, like working at the high end place, I'd ask for about allergies and people would be like, oh, I'm severely allergic to gluten. Of course, everyone's allergic to gluten right now. And some people have serious celiac. Yeah. But if you tell me, hey, look, I'm really trying to avoid gluten, soy sauce is okay or not okay, like, great. I'm willing to work with that. But when you make me run up and down the stairs doing allergy checks to the chef and making sure that you're safe during your meal because you've told me your allergy is so severe, and then I see you taking a bite of your friend's piece of cake at dessert, I'm like, it makes me want to, like, follow you home hate you. Yeah. It's like, how dare you,
you
know?
I do mean things to you.
Yeah, for sure. Pisses me off so much. I'm like, just be honest, man. Like, if you hate cilantro, just be like, I'm not allergic, but I really, really hate it. And I will do everything I can to make that work for you.
Yeah.
And I mean, working in service, I've worked in so many restaurants, so I know tons and tons of servers. And they all say the same thing. Like, don't make me run around because it's a fake allergy. Just tell me what the truth really is, you know? If you don't want dairy, you're trying to avoid it.
I didn't even think about these things that you have to deal with, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. Wow.
Totally.
Because I'm always straightforward, you know, give me this, give me that, goodbye. You know?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Jeez. The same with Starbucks. I mean, the shit that people at Starbucks ask for, you know?
I know.
And they welcome this. At Starbucks, they welcome it.
Starbucks takes the hit.
Right?
I love them for it, though. They really take it. They're like, no problem. I'm like, okay, this is going to be annoying. I want a grande matcha coconut milk iced latte, but I want no classic syrup and I want half a pump of peppermint and I want it in a venti cup with extra ice. And they're like, that's not annoying at all. I'm like, really? That's very annoying to me. I've baristed before too, and the things people would ask for.
Yeah.
We used to have this woman that would come in and she would get a half calf, just 20 ounce cup of espresso. She would get 10 shots, half of them decaf, half of them regular.
Wow.
And she would just drink that twice a day.
Really?
Twice a day.
Wow.
I'm like, how is your nervous system doing? Are you okay?
That's a little exaggerated there. Yeah. I mean, that's too much.
Oh, yeah. People, before they get their coffee, it was a coffee shop and a grocery store. So when I would work the morning shift, I'd be there at 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And the staff would be lining up and they'd be so cranky. It would be half the staff from overnight. And then the other half would be the morning, like, bakers that came in. And people would just be so crabby before their coffee. And then I'd see them 2 hours later for their second round of coffee, and they were so chipper and happy. I'm like, I guess you've had your coffee and your muffins, so you're good now.
Yeah, that's true. You get to see people first thing in the morning when they're still irritated.
Yeah, it's just like, just whatever you need, even if it's complicated, just be kind. You know, I feel like people have this thing where they're just, they think it's okay to just be a jerk.
Yeah.
Until they realize like something's going on in your life. Like you shouldn't have to explain what's going on in your life in order for someone to give you the respect to be kind. Just assume that you have no idea what's going on in someone else's life and just be nice.
That's true.
You know, right? Just be nice. I mean, we all have our moments. I understand that. Yeah, but majority of the time, just be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I tend to react to people without thinking about what they must have gone through, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it happens. Just call attention to it. It's too much work, you know? I know. It can be, for sure. Sometimes I'm just like a friend of mine went into Starbucks and she was like, okay, I want this drink. She was like, I want caramel in it, but I don't want the caramel syrup. I want the sauce, like the drizzle. And the guy was like, okay. She was like, how do I order that? The guy's like, okay, order it like this. So she ordered it like that. And then the girl who made the actual coffee handed it to her. And my friend was like, does this have like the pump syrup or the sauce? And she was like, it's the pump syrup. My friend's like, well, I really wanted the sauce. I talked to the guy who took my order and asked him how I could order that so that it would make sense. And the girl was like, so what do you want me to do with this? Wow. And my friend kind of like lost it and was like, I want you to do whatever it is that you do with coffees that people don't want. And then I'll take the one that I actually want.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, drink it yourself or something.
Yeah, drink it yourself.
Wow.
Definitely.
Oh, man. People.
Definitely people. You.
So changing the topic a little bit, let's talk about baby names, because every year I get like flabbergasted about the names that people come up with for their kids, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And why can they have something like normal? I guess people sort of like get tired of the same names all the time. You
yeah,
know?
Right.
But
Bill,
still, I mean,
Tom,
they go,
Jan.
Yeah, they go all out, you know, and stuff. So some of the girls' names in popularity.
Oh, can do that.
Have you ever heard of someone named Ada? I don't know, but it sounds kind of like old.
Yeah, it sounds it was from the 20s or something. Like my Aunt Ada.
I know.
You know, my great Aunt Ada.
So where does that come from? I don't know. Then Reese.
Reese?
Yeah.
Like Reese Witherspoon? Reese.
Yeah, I guess. Micah. M-I-K-A.
One of my brother's best friends growing up, his name is Micah. He was our next door neighbor.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's probably like M-I-C-A-H or something,
yeah.
Right? That's a boy. But this one's for a girl.
How do they spell
M-I-K-A.
It?
M-I-K-A.
Oh. Like
I don't
Mika?
Think it's, is it Mika?
It
I don't
might
know.
Be Mika.
It could be Mika.
I've heard
know.
Mika a bunch too.
Because I've seen a couple of Micahs, M-A-K-A, but... Maybe Mika. Paisley?
Yeah, Really? Yeah, I've known a couple Paisleys.
Never heard of Paisley before.
It's like the design.
Yeah. Amina?
Abina.
Amina.
Amina?
Amina.
Eh,
I know.
Yeah.
Tegan?
Yeah, there was actually a band called Tegan and Sarah.
Really?
And they were two sisters. I think they were twins maybe? Or maybe just sisters, I don't know.
It's kind of a cool name.
Yeah, Tegan's cool.
I guess, right? Nova?
Nova.
Aura.
Like Nova Locks.
Yeah. Nova like space type of thing.
I've met an Aura. I went to preschool with an Aura.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's not that new, but I guess it's grown in popularity or something.
She was a weirdo, though.
Was she?
Yeah, she just would stare at everyone all the time.
Okay, so don't name your kid Aura.
Yeah.
Then there's Pearl, which sounds old.
Yeah, Pearl.
Right?
Yeah, my grandma Pearl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like everyone on the Titanic's name is Pearl.
Yeah. And Billy. Billy for a girl.
Okay, yeah, like Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they said. Highly visible stars. Reese Witherspoon and Billie Eilish were undoubtedly influential.
I think it's kind of cute when girls have guy names.
I like that.
You know,
but they also have like last names, like Madison and you know, things like that, right?
Yeah, totally. I've known a couple of Madisons for sure.
I know. Yeah. So those are like Jackson, you know.
Jackson, yeah.
Right. So they give some boys those names too, but. It's funny when they give girls last names, you know.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I guess Madison is pretty cool.
Yeah,
for
Madison's
a girl,
cool.
Right?
Yeah. That's funny. Who cares?
Who cares? No, for boys, they have these. They have Austin.
Okay.
I've heard so many Austins. Alva.
Alva?
Alva.
I've never heard that one.
I know. How about this one? I don't know how to pronounce it. Acacius. Acacius, A-C-A-C-I-U-S. Acacius, that's maybe what it sounds like. Tate.
Tate, I've met a couple Tates.
Yeah, I see last name again.
Like Tate's Cookies.
Right.
Which are so, so delicious.
Yeah, but those are last name.
So thin and crispy. a family friend of ours, he's basically our honorary cousin now because he's lived with both my brother and sister. He used to bring us, I guess he worked for Tate's or something, but he would bring us like bags and bags and bags of Tate's. Uh-huh. So I've gotten to try like all of the Tate's cookies and they're so addicting. Like really? There's just something about them. They're a very special cookie. Yeah.
I don't think we have them here, do we?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. They're in like a green bag. If you saw them, you'd recognize them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're on all the shelves.
And I'll have to try that.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah. Dangerous. For sure.
Yeah. But they're probably named after the last name of somebody.
Probably.
Then they have Diego.
Okay. I've known a couple Diegos.
Have you?
Yeah.
Easton. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I've met an Easton.
I've heard of last names Easton, but not. Lucius.
Lucius, okay.
Have you heard of Lucius?
I've heard of it as a name.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I have. Cash.
Cash, that's funny.
Ash.
Ash. I know an Ash, actually.
And Luca.
Luca. I've actually met a Luca.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Luca. I think people are starting to pull names from other countries, too.
Right.
You know, not just American,
they do.
Like
they
Daniel.
Do.
And
I know. And then they have gender-neutral names for both sexes.
That's cool.
So they have Ellis, Phoenix, Remy, Marlo, Shay, Zephyr,
yeah.
Zephyr, Darcy, Rowan, Quinn, and Emerson.
I never thought of Darcy as a neutral name. I've only met female Darcys.
Yeah.
But that's cool, though.
I know, well.
And I know a Remy. I've known a couple Remys. Every Remy I've ever met has been like a great person.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, if you want your kid to be a good person, name him Remy.
Name him Remy, right? Emerson, I don't know. I can't see a girl named Emerson, but maybe there is.
You could call her Emmy.
Yeah, I guess. Crazy names, man. Really crazy names. People released the sexiest man alive for 2019.
Who is it?
John Legend. Is
really?
The one, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess he's okay.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he caught Chrissy Teigen. She's gorgeous. So.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And he says he's very perplexed about it, but that's what they all say, right?
Yeah, totally. What are they going to say? Oh, I knew it was going to happen.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Then they'll be like, I
do think
the
I'm
biggest
the sexiest
ass.
Man.
Yeah, 2020's biggest ass.
So, yeah, I mean, I've heard the name. I've never even, I didn't know what he looked like until I looked now.
Oh, yeah. His music's great, though. So maybe it's a combination of his music making him attractive as
probably,
well.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
What's his music like? Is he pretty good?
It's smooth. It's a lot of piano. He's a pianist and he's a great singer. And
oh, well, yeah. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
maybe
it's really
like
good.
It. Yeah.
Totally.
Telling you, I'm totally out of touch with current music. Not totally. I mean, some songs I like, but
yeah, it's easy to get out of touch with it. You know, people don't really listen to radio like they used to.
Right, exactly.
You
know? And when Spotify suggests songs, they suggest what you already like.
Totally.
The genres you already like.
Yeah, which is great because you get to learn so many new artists that way instead of what's hot right now, you know.
Exactly.
So.
But I like older music, so it gives me older stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes I look like for new releases and things
sure.
like that, and you find songs like Senorita. I love that song.
Yeah.
Man.
I always hang out with my younger friends to keep up with the kids.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I'm like 31, so when I hang out with a 20-year-old, they're like saying all these things. I learn all the new terminology.
Right, I know. But I'm telling you, all that rap stuff, I just can't get used to it.
Yeah, I like some of it.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends. A lot of it sounds, I mean, I think a lot of most genres sound the same. There's very few artists, I think, that really, really stand out.
Right.
But Yeah, there is some really good rap out there.
Yeah, I mean, some of the more the milder ones, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the
not all the songs just going. Yeah, skirt,
the gangster rap. I don't know about that. You know, that's too much for me.
I like the old school stuff. It's like smooth and you can chill to it.
I know, and the cleaner ones like Will Smith and that.
I call that rap.
Well, he's got a couple rap songs, but
welcome to Miami.
But I actually liked the first rap song was probably Rapper's Delight. Do you know that song?
I feel like I have what sing it to me.
Okay, let me play it for you. I mean, we're totally out of time, but
but
let me just find it real quick because you got to know what Rapper's Delight sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I feel like I've definitely heard it.
It's a very long song. But we'll just play a little
bit. It's old, right?
Yeah, it's from the 70s. But
my brother's screen name from AOL like years ago was O-Dog Delight.
Really?
After that song, I think.
Yeah. Well, hold on. There's a commercial right here.
Always a commercial.
Yeah, I know. But here, let me just start it like in the middle kind of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Uh-huh.
Totally.
Classic. I didn't know that was the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By a terrible song name. Sugar Hill.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, so that's that for today, folks. Thank you all so much
for listening.
Tomorrow we have a musical guest, I guess.
Wonderful.
So that should be cool. Friday we have filmmakers whatever. So that would be cool.
Perfect.
Yeah. So have a great Wednesday, I guess.
All right. Happy hump day.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.